Chet Viscardi.
Yes.
You are the head of the music department.
Yes.
Sarah Lawrence College.
Unfortunately.
And composer.
Yes.
Firstly, composer. And you've been inspired, I understand, by painters, at least by Jasper Johns.
Yeah, most recently by Jasper Johns, although I think I could say probably in a general way my work has always been... The work in my compositions basically deal a lot with color and texture, which I think a lot of 20th century compositions have dealt with, simply because at the beginning of the century with people like Schoenberg, who started trying to figure out other ways of developing their musical resources, and one of the obvious ways seemed to be using color or textures. And that's really, I mean, composers have always done that throughout history, but I think that was the focus began, say, with someone like Debussy, with Impressionism, where he was really trying to, in many respects, reflect the Impressionist painters as well as the Impressionist poets. But that also goes into music like people like Schoenberg. In fact, the third movement of Schoenberg's Five Pieces for Orchestra is called Farben, which means colors. And it deals with what's called frozen registration, where he just keeps pitches in certain areas and just changes the sound of them by changing the color of them, in other words, by assigning them to different instrumental groups or different orchestrational colors. And he developed a whole thing called Klangfarben Melodie, which has to do with writing melodies that are really color melodies. They're melodies dealing with the ways textures go in and out of each other. So in any case, that's a long story, but that has influenced my music. I have, in many ways...
Do you feel, you mean color, or did Schoenberg also influence your music in
that
sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think in many different ways. I mean,
Kandinsky,
this is a very...
also influenced, I think, Schoenberg?
Mm-hmm. All the people of the Expressionist school.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Schoenberg himself was a painter. Mm-hmm. He did a lot of painting, and he was recently, now they've collected all of his works in the Schoenberg Institute. In any case, the fact...
Do you paint?
No, I'd love to. I painted when I was a kid, and I would love to paint again. In fact, I was at the Primitive exhibit the other day at the new wing at the Metropolitan, the Michael Rockefeller mm-hmm. wing, where they have all the primitive things, and I was looking at it thinking, wow, I have a connection to that, but I haven't done it, but would like to. I know Meyer Peppermint does.
Yes.
He's a painter.
Yeah.
And he considers that an important outlet for him. Mm-hmm. But as far as specifically with my work in being inspired by painters, there are two times, I think, that, I mean, I can talk about it generally, but I think, if, you know, for specific things for you. One was a piece that was finished in 1981 called Di Vivere, which is a piece for piano and clarinet and A with flute, violin, and cello. And I say with because it can actually be performed as a duet or before as a quintet. And it is a piece that follows an earlier work for solo piano called Mestiere. The two together, the title is Mestiere di Vivere, which is the title of a collection of journals by Cesare Pavese, an Italian novelist who committed suicide in 1950. And the titles together mean the business of living. Well, the of living part, which is the quintet, I was working on during 1980-81, and I went to Mexico for the first time in my life. I took a trip down there for 2 weeks just to take a vacation. I went to Mexico City, and I went to the outreaches, went to the Yucatan, went to Chichen Itza, Uxmal, Cozumel, and came back to Mexico City. So got to see a lot of Aztec and Mayan works. And at the time, I was intrigued by the coloration that the Aztecs used. In fact, I've written it down here where they use basically green, yellow, red, white. I think those four mostly, and some black in a lot of their frescoes.
Primary
color. And when I got back to Mexico City, I went to the Contemporary Art Museum and discovered a painter by the name of Rufino Tamayo, who uses exactly those colors, except in a new configuration in the 20th century. I don't know if he's still alive or not. I don't really know his background. But in any case, this, so just looking at colors and in two different ways in which they existed in Mexico, inspired me to continue work on the piece that I had started before and was having troubles with. Now, all I want to bring up here is that I can't really give you any correlations between color and, say, pitches or instrumentation. There are, in fact, five instruments in Di Vivere, its quintet, and these are the five colors I'm talking about. Somehow, it just seeing color sort of opened up a path into that piece. So that's sort of a, that was a way where that worked very indirectly for me, but had a big influence on the piece. But I couldn't give you a theoretical.
In other words, it was an emotional reaction that you had. It wasn't the composition of the colors.
No.
The way they melded together, I guess, when they were close together.
Well, I'm sure all that plays part of it, but it was more of just an emotional
just
thing.
Just an emotional reaction to
yeah,
the
so
colors.
I didn't use it. I didn't use it as a as any sort of structural theoretical
right.
basis. Now, on the other side, do you want me to talk about Jasper Johns, or do you want
sure.
to ask me?
Whatever.
Now, on the other hand, with the Jasper Johns that you mentioned. I'd written the opera Tightrope, and I came back and was commissioned to write a work for Anthony DeMar, who had a debut recital in New York, and he wanted me to write a piano piece, and I had a hard time beginning it. In fact, all the sketches, the original sketches for it, which represented about 5 months worth of work, I didn't use at all. In fact, I used in a totally different piece. And I was, because I was very confused about the style of my language for instrumental writing. Having written an opera, I wrote for a style of music that the characters created. It had a much more accessible consonant surface than I had been writing before. And I was given the structure of the opera because the librettist gave me the skeletal structure through the libretto. And then the characters created their own form. So all of a sudden I had to come back and write a purely abstract piece of music. And I was very confused, and it was very difficult for me to even begin. And I was puttering around with ideas, and at the same time, I was like going, I have, ever since I started writing music again, which was in my early 20s, because I had stopped since I was a little kid, when I started writing music again, I was inspired a lot by literature and the forms that were arrived at through a literary form or a specific piece of literature, like a novel or whatever. One of my orchestra pieces, At the Still Point, is based loosely on T.S. Eliot's Burnt Norton from the Four Quartets. At this point, I didn't feel any literary connections, but what I found myself doing was to go to the Museum of Modern Art every Thursday night and just walk around. And there was a retrospective, which is this book.
Prince
by Jasper Johns. And I walked into this one room and saw these paintings that were three panels called Voice 2, which are from 1971. And so there were the paintings. But then right next to it were lithographs that he made from those paintings in 1982. And then next to that was a hanging of three different possibilities of the ordering of those lithographs. So what it was a combination of nine pieces. And all of a sudden, I love the colors. There was something muted about it, something almost impressionistic about these colors. Maybe that's the wrong term, but these pastels, rather, is the better term for it. And if you notice, the work is called Voice 2, so you see written Voice 2, but you notice that they overlap, like the eyes overlap in the second panel, the C is sort of in different places, the E is overlapped into the third panel, the two, the V of voice at the end panel goes back to the first panel here.
Right.
And if you notice, and if you were to see this up close, because you can't see the painting here because it's not three-dimensional, but on the sides, the painting goes over. So it's sort of like it leaks over the surface. Each panel is divided differently, this into two rectangles, this into two rectangles going in a different direction, this with a horizontal bar going through it. Different colors are being used. He does things like he's got words in here, should be 7 inches. He also, where is it? There used to be a spoon in here. What happened? It's not. It's something else. doesn't make any difference. But in any case, a lot of things that you see in this painting, he talks about as being in other paintings of his. So in any way, to make a long story short, what happens is that he plays around with incorporating early works of his into the present work. He also plays around with incorporating, not in particular in this work, but in other works, different types of Americana things in his work. So he plays a lot of games with this. In fact, at one point, I've got it written down here for you, he makes this comment from a sketchbook about this work. He says, shake, shift parts of some of the letters in voice too. A not complete unit of a new unit. The elements in the three parts should neither fit nor not fit together. One would like not to be led. Avoid the idea of a puzzle which could be solved. Remove the signs of thought. It is not the thought which needs showing. Mm. What?
In other words, it's the process?
It's the process. But don't show the process. Figure out your process, make it work for you, but then let the work of art stand by itself. Ultimately, what this meant for me was that what got me most excited about the work was the fact that he put the panels into 9 panels in mobile form. And I started looking at it, and I realized that I've been working with material that had 3 different ideas to it, a kind of a, describe it. Three ideas. I'm not sure I wrote this down here. I can't see it. Oh, here, 3 ideas. First idea, A, is angular and pulsating idea. B is fast runs and chords. And C is lyrical. So I put, like, his panels were A, B, C, C, A, B, BCA. So I introduced the material like that. So basically it's a 9-section work, like his lithographs hung in that mobile form on 9 sections. So I use that as a larger structural thing. I also use the fact that ideas bleed over from one panel to another, from one section to another. So that sort of like overlapping sections became a compositional device. So in this piece particularly, I mean, I also have, there's something about the colors. The first one is basically blue, the second one is basically red, the third one is basically yellow. Mm-hmm. So each one has its own sensitivity. So basically that's how that influenced the piano sonata, but it highly influenced it.
Can you play a little of it?
Oh, I don't have it with me. I can only play the opening of it because I don't remember. It just starts very dramatically. Yeah, the Jasper Johns, this lithograph I got permission to use.
Have you spoken to him?
No, I did it through the museum, my art. Put this one here. Celeste Bartos is going to be on the card.
Can we
get
class now?
A minute, yeah, my class. Anything else?
It's just, the feeling that I get is a very, almost an improvisational progression with the structure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that expressivity, that the structure, but not...
The structure which allows for creative thought to happen. That's true with any composer, if you really boil it down.
That's a general way of saying it.
Yeah. This was, I needed to find a way of fixating my ideas because I was a little confused. And it wasn't, you know, in the old days, Mozart, as much of a genius as he is, because he certainly is, Mozart had formats to work with or not work with.
Mm-hmm.
In the 20th century, it seems like every piece is a new approach to form. Even though, you know, if you start really looking at an individual composer, you find one of my favorite composer of mine is Toto Takemitsu. As much as I love his music, after a while you realize that he works in like a 15 to 20 minute framework, and around 2/3 of the way through he has a big climax. And then the end tends to be a coda or a series of codas. That's the way he sees, that's the way he perceives himself, his music. So everybody starts having their own personal thing, unless you try to break that pattern. I've been finding it increasingly more difficult to figure out how form works in 20th century music. So this was one way I did it, and it was a direct evocation of what he was doing in this piece, and what he does generally in his work, from what I can understand.
I used
a lot of elements from other pieces in this piece. Some music from Mestiere, solo piano pieces in here. A few chords from my opera Tycho are in here. A very long Denza-like run is from the piano concerto, because I wanted some sort of.
Did you do that before? Did you know you were going to do
yes.
that, or did it happen?
Oh. Well, I mean, it sort of like seemed to be the type of music that needed to happen at the moment, and I like quoting myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's been sort of a thing I've done. It seems like it keeps a continuity going, a certain type of line.